Hey, Cody, we're officially live, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Davin. Great. Thrilled to be here back with you, man.
Yeah, it's been, what, a couple of weeks since we've shot an episode?
It has been. Some things have been going on a little bit in life, and here we are. Some more things are going on ahead of us as well, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things where life is certainly going to continue to throw its curveballs, but we'll adapt in this thing as we go. And I'm sure we'll talk about some of the struggles and the triumphs that you and I have had over the last couple of weeks. But regardless of that, buddy, it's certainly good to be back with you on the upward spiral.
I agree, man, completely. And so, speaking of adaptation, we are adapting to something different here, considering some of the life circumstances that you've got in front of you, that I've got in front of me. And we're also just having fun trying something a little bit new here with the Upward Spiral podcast. So before we get going officially with this, talk to people about what this is, what are we unveiling here, and how are we going to do this, and then let's get at it.
Okay, so for our extremely limited audience that we have thus far, we know that you guys are used to us breaking it down into two different parts. First part, we start with what you're drinking, what you're thinking. Cody and I riff back and forth, talk about a cocktail, have a good little conversation, and we just talk about what's on our mind, a very organic conversation. And traditionally, those have been what, Cody, 45 minutes. A lot of fun, but sometimes they get a little bit longer.
Yes, correct. Yeah, exactly. But what we really do like about that though is the organic nature of the conversation, which we most definitely still want to preserve. So, yes.
Absolutely. And then the second part, we jump into the improvement movement, our terribly named business leadership mindset topic. But you know what? We're going to stick with it. But again, for that part, we alternate, bring three topics. The other person has no idea what we're going to talk about. We present those three options at the time, and then we jump into it. So that's what our listeners are used to. That's what they know. But we're going to adapt this thing a little bit. Cody's jumping into a little bit of graduate level education. I'm staring in the face of a spinal fusion. So we want to make sure that we're putting out relevant, useful, organic content to our listeners. But this time, we're going to do it in a little bit more compressed timeline, Cody.
Right, exactly. And forcefully compressed. I mean, not as much as what your spine is at the moment, but from a time constraint standpoint, we are putting on a bookending this thing 20 minutes. Once we flip over that hour class, we are only limited to be able to talk about a subject for 20 minutes. So the intent is to get a topic out there where you and I typically will, like I'll present you with three topics and you choose. This is not that. This is still to preserve the organic nature of it. And today, I'm going to be presenting you with one topic. So you have no choice in the matter. And that's the constraint, continued constraint of this. So I'll present you with one topic, and then you and I are going to riff on it once the topic is presented for no more than 20 minutes with a hard set clock on that. So that way we have to talk about it, discuss it, and then bring it all together and tie it up within that time frame.
Love it. And we are going to call this the updraft.
The updraft. What's significant about the updraft relative to the upward spiral? Per me unveiling this to you, and the name to you about 30 minutes ago.
I think it's fast. I think it's violent. It's certainly much more constrained. You think of an of you know I think of fire, where it's a big burst of energy, a big burst of flames. That generally hits people in the face, causes irreparable damage and destruction along its path, and then it's on to
Yeah.
the next one.
That's it. So again, just this, as we're talking about with upward spiral, just a tremendous force of positivity here, as said with you. I can't think of a better way to describe it as a tremendous violent upward force of action here that leaves people in the wake of destruction, and then we go on to the next town and destroy from there. Perfect. That's what the upward spiral is all about, isn't it?
That's all I know is just, positive destruction.
So, with that being said, here we are, the very first episode of the Updraft. I have my timer sitting right in front of me, and I'm about to hit the play button on the timer once I unveil the topic to you, and we're going to rapid fire this thing, make sure that we again constrain this to 20 minutes. So this is about to be a ready, set, go moment for us here, and you have the joy, the burden, the responsibility of me hitting you with the first topic. So are you ready?
Are you ready?
The answer is I we'll see. But
Yep, a resounding maybe.
a resounding maybe. So with that being said, let's take choice out of the matter and let's get it. So I'm going to tell you what the topic is. Hit start on my timer. You get ready as well, so we're both seeing it. Let's go. Davin Marceau, I want you to talk about command and executive presence, something that you are really good at. I want you to talk about that in the context of whatever it is you want, whether in a professional capacity, which executive presence denotes that, but it's not limited to the boardroom. It's
for sure.
Going out, cocktail parties, hanging out with friends, stuff like that. So do you have any questions about the topic before I hit start on the timer?
Nope, let's go.
All right, we're off. Let's get it.
Man, command and executive presence. Cody, you talk about a learned skill. You know, with other topics, we've talked about nature versus nurture. But this is a skill. This is a mindset and an ability that is 100% gained through wisdom. And
right.
Wisdom is the application of knowledge and experience, right? This is something that you go through those awkward teenage years. You think of the juxtaposition about command and executive presence. It's about being that awkward teenager who doesn't know how to interact in a social dynamic. Mm-hmm. And so you flounder throughout the years and you hopefully begin to gain your footing and your ability to be able to dynamically impact a room with your presence, with the words that you say, with how you say them, with how you interact with others. That's the first thing that jumps to mind with command and executive presence, is it's something that really absolutely nobody's born with. It's put into you by those formative influences in your life that likely is going to start with your parents and your grandparents, progress mm-hmm. through, you know, your mentors, your pastors, whoever those formative influences happen to be in your life. That's the first thing that jumps to mind for me.
Right. So as you look at this, to be clear, if you're trying to split this into, okay, you know, you're looking at this from the outside, how do I gain executive presence? Is it a learned skill, or is it just an innate skill that is blessed upon you within the construct of your DNA? You're saying it is not nature. It is not something that you inherit from a genetic standpoint. It is something that is a learned skill through social interaction, growing up, seeing people do it. That's what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of it has to do also with, you know, the confidence that you're given as a young man or a young mm-hmm. woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the other side of that are your insecurities. And, you know, we'll jump into this a little bit more later, but the people that you generally see that have the weakest executive and command presence are the ones that have the most insecurities. For whatever reason in their life, they don't have the ability to be able to step into a room and let silence be dynamic, let mm-hmm. silence work on their behalf. And that happens in the boardroom as well. So that's certainly an interesting note for that as well.
No, that's an extremely interesting note. And so clearly, if we're talking about the topic of confidence and insecurities and all of that, that is a whole subject that, you know, we could dive down the rabbit hole on and spend a lot of time on, right? But what you're doing though is you are linking confidence and security or insecurity to the ability to be able to have executive and or command presence, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, this was certainly something that I learned throughout my years in the military. You know, and oftentimes you're thrust into those early leadership positions and you're learning it's a trial by fire type situation. And you're in front of 3 to 4 guys that work for you, and you're having to lead them in a very tactical application of leadership. And in that moment, and I think this transcends military as well, it's a whole lot of bluster. It's a whole lot of filling space with words, filling silence with words, and expecting every single one of those words to be impactful, to be
right.
meaningful. You know, you think that the more they hear your voice, the more impactful you're going to be on them. And it's intuitive to be that way, but man, is it counterproductive in application.
And so how so? Because it sounds like what you're saying is, in many cases, the more words that you use, I mean, this is talking about the military for you, is where you really derived a lot of your command and executive presence from. So are you saying that in your experience, it feels like you should use more words to have command and executive presence, but you're saying, no, actually less is more?
Less is more, 100%. Because people become tone deaf to your voice, into your personality, into the, you know, how you even, to your demeanor, Cody, if you give them too much of it, you know. And you can think about a spouse that badgers his wife or a wife that badgers their husband. And eventually you just see the life drain from their eyes because the words have no more meaning to them. They have mm-hmm. no more impact, right? And I mm-hmm. think that's a very common thing that we're going to talk about with command and executive presence, is the impact that you have in a social dynamic. The impact that you have on individuals by your presence, or you know, because again, it can be a positive or a negative impact. It's something that's going to happen one way or the other. And the good thing is fortunately we get to decide what type of impact that it's going to be.
Well, and we get to decide about that. And so again, this is, as you said earlier, a learned skill, mm-hmm. right? Through experience. So in your experience, compared to where you started and where you are now, which listeners, viewers, because we're doing video on this one as well, I can certainly tell you I've seen Davin work in a social capacity and just like, you know, after hours hanging out at a restaurant in a group of people, friends, whatever, right? He is able to work a room and demand respect, but it's a very quiet way that he goes about it. And then there's also the boardroom, and I've seen Davin work in there. So he really is phenomenal at this. So in your experience, Davin, from where you started and to where you are today, what have you learned is important? What have you through your experience learned that's not important? Where have you made some mistakes? And I guess in some respects, tell your leaders as well, if you could tell yourself, rewind the clock a little bit and say, do this, don't do that. What would be, from an expert such as yourself, to do's and not to do's?
So I think we covered one of the not to do's first, right? And that's fill silence with words, mm-hmm. with meaningless words that you're trying to be important. You're trying to, impart some useless knowledge into somebody else. So, a big part of that is you're trying to develop your presence. As you step into a room, just say nothing. Just keep your mouth shut and your eyes and your ears open and observe the social dynamic of the room. Look for those key players. Look for those ongoing relationships that you see forming throughout the room. And it's going to allow you to be able to dissect those a little bit and understand how you can inject yourself into that dynamic, into that situation in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes what I'll do is I'll find a person in a room and, one that looks like they are, kind of maybe one of the alphas of the group, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we're pack animals at the end of the day, right? And every group that you walk into, every social dynamic, Cody, has an alpha in it. Mm-hmm. And you have to know that. And part of command and executive presence is becoming that alpha almost inadvertently, right? So introduce yourself to that person, but just ask them questions and have a genuine curiosity about them. And it can be the alpha, it can be whoever you're interacting with, but have a genuine concern and a genuine, a genuine interest in who they are as a person. Mm-hmm. And just ask questions.
Right. No, that, Davin, I think is a phenomenal point right there, is whenever you enter into a social dynamic. Now, in this situation, it's different than the boardroom, and it's different than being around a group of four or more people, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever you're talking about a situation and dealing with somebody on an individual basis, and the main point that I hear you seeing that you're making here, well, two things. One, don't just cannonball into a room and start talking. Sit back and observe the social dynamic and try to figure out who is acting in what capacity in that social dynamic at that moment. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be clear, this is about the growth process for people that are learning. They're in the learning process of developing and maintaining a command and executive presence. And so, the first part for that is certainly walk into a room, shut up, observe, mm-hmm. and then take a genuine interest in the people that you're talking to.
And that's the second part that I wanted to highlight, a genuine mm-hmm. interest, okay? So this is where I see a lot of people, and I believe myself, made some mistakes, because what I wanted to do is, Davin, I wanted to impress you with my knowledge. I wanted to impress you with my stories. I wanted mm-hmm. to impress you with, and I wanted you to think that I was awesome. And so I'm sitting here talking about myself, right? That is something that people do all too often. And in effect, what does that do in the social dynamic, and what does that attribute to you relative to a command and or executive presence? It's not about you. It's about them is what you're saying. And so if you ask them those questions, then, and looking at them, like, making eye contact, tell me the difference between those two experiences that I just said, as far as the attribution of somebody having, treating you as somebody with command and executive presence in those two different scenarios.
Well, you lose the ability to gather information from them, because everybody likes the underdog. Everybody likes the person that has a little bit of intrigue and a little bit of, that unknown interesting element about them. So if I walk up and I talk to you and I introduce myself to you and I automatically launch into how great I am at my job, how much weight I like to lift, the type of car that I like to drive, where I live, the list goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. You're looking at me like, who's this freaking guy? You know, right. and you're not going to be able to get that reciprocity. And there's a really intriguing element about the ability to gather information from somebody with them believing that you've given them a tremendous amount of reciprocity. Mm-hmm. And they believe that they've connected with you, but at the end of it, you've given them just enough information to make you intriguing. And this is where a really interesting part of this comes, because what you want in this building process and what really builds command and executive presence, Cody, is if other people do it for you. Because if you give them just enough information to where they turn to their friend in the room and go, you know, that Cody guy? Mm-hmm. That guy seems really cool. He seems unique. And so they begin to tell your story for you, but they don't have enough of your story to tell it all. So your intrigue and your presence in that room can grow the quickest by other people telling your story.
So let's talk about this. There's two points that I want to talk about. I want to talk about genuine interest and the results of that. And then I also want to talk about intrigue and what you can do in preparation, like with homework, to be able to have command and executive presence. Okay, so here's a thought that I had. You know, my whole world that I've been doing professionally for quite a while is sales, and you know, mm-hmm. making connections with people, and that's how I've been able to work in the capacity of sales, business development, partnerships, marketing. It's all about people and it's all about those connections. So in the context of command and executive presence, whether I believe in a social situation or also the boardroom, which this is something that you do really on an individual basis, is genuine interest. This is what I'm going to say. This is more or less the dots that you've connected here. So tell me if you agree. Genuine interest can yield a genuine connection.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, how is it you're able to get connection? Like, I ask you a lot of questions about you, and you are revealing to me information. You're telling me what you're interested in. You're saying, I'm interested in X, I'm interested in Y, and I'm interested in Z. So, as opposed to me just coming in and talking to you about all the stuff that is cool about me, none of that may resonate with you, right? Because maybe we don't have shared interests. But if I ask you questions, and now you've shared with me that you're interested in X, Y, and Z, I can then say, oh, that's so cool, and ask deeper questions around X, Y, and Z, and perhaps relate a story of my own as how I've experienced X, Y, and or Z. And once I do that, does that form a genuine connection, and what happens then?
You know, and you're right, you know, because people connect with people they like and trust, right? And that happens in a sales situation, that happens in social dynamics, et cetera. But there are tips and tricks, and I don't know if this is the podcast to go into that. And I hate to call them tricks, that sounds like a pejorative, but there are techniques that you can use mm-hmm. to have a conversation with somebody. And I can talk to you about wakeboarding. You know, you were a wakeboarding instructor at one point in time. And if I do it right, and if I use mirroring and I use labeling and I use some of these, you know, tactical empathy type techniques, you can believe that I've had an in-depth conversation with you about wakeboarding. Mm-hmm. And I don't know a damn thing about it.
Right.
But I mirror your questions. I label what you're saying, and I continue to ask follow-on questions. And most of the time, they're going to leave that conversation saying, man, Dav and I are going to go wakeboarding sometime, and I've never been able to stand up on a wakeboard, Cody.
Right, right. Well, and that's an interesting point, because if we were to do that, I would feel like I had a connection with you, and mm-hmm. it goes to the point, like through my life, personal, professional, and in making connections, here's what I can certainly attest to. Tell me if you agree, and as you so much have already, is people are interested in people who are interested in them. So
for sure,
let me say that people are interested in people who are interested in them. So if you're asking me questions all about me, I'm like, that Davin guy is so cool, and I don't know a thing about you, but you were just interested in me. That is how we are, generally speaking, socially wired as humans. And so you talk about tricks or whatever it is, you know what I mean? If you wanted to be manipulative or deceptive, well, those are then our tricks, and that's how you get people to open up. But if you just use what, like sincerely wanting to make a genuine connection, then that's an organic process. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And you have the ability as the person driving the interaction to decide if it's shallow and manipulative or not. Oh, you know, I may just want to get to know you. And so I'm going to ask questions of you that you're going to open up to me. And I want to show a genuine level of interest. So I'm going to mirror you. I'm going to label you. I'm going to ask you further or follow on questions to that. But I'm not trying to get anything out of you other than wanting to know more and wanting to connect with you as a person. So you have the ability to decide whether this is going to be deception / manipulation mm-hmm. or a human to human connection.
Excellent. Now we've got a lot to cover here, still getting 5 minutes to go. You talk about intrigue. How does experience play into intrigue? Because you've been around the world, you've done all this other stuff before, right? So how does experience, personal life experience, play into intrigue?
Oh, tremendously well. And I think this is where, when you're having that conversation and you're talking about that human to human connection, you just splash in I had a boat once and say nothing. You know, or I traveled this, or hey man, you know, I'll have to tell you about the story. I went to overseas one time and you tell a wakeboarding story, but just leave it just enough to leave them with a level of intrigue with you, but also feeling like they're connected with you. And that's where those lifelong experiences come into play so well.
Excellent. So we've talked about this in small social dynamics. Bring this to the boardroom. Talk about, you know, whether or not it's pretty easy to be able to have command and executive presence if you've already established these relationships with the individuals and you're walking into a boardroom and you have those relationships and they respect you because of that. You're walking into a boardroom, you're walking into a customer site, you're walking into whatever. How is it then that you're able to have command and executive presence with those individuals relative to what you say, what you do, your physical stance, your presence, your eye contact, your experience, your knowledge? You know, cover all that in the next 4 minutes.
Okay, so hopefully if you've done your homework correctly, they know of you. This isn't the first interaction that you've had with them. They know of you. And if you've done it right, similar to what we've talked about already, one person in that boardroom has had a conversation with another person who's had a conversation with another person.
Seeds have been planted.
For sure. And then this is where things like attire and how you carry yourself play so incredibly well into it. Because, and you and I have had this conversation before, Cody, when I walk into a boardroom, when I walk into a meeting with a partner or with our executive team, there is so much thought that has went into how I dressed for that day, because you need to dress the part. You don't want to be edgy. You don't want to be flashy, but you don't want to be fuddy-duddy. So dress the part, right? Maybe wear a shirt that's on the edge.
One level above.
For sure. That leaves a level of intrigue or a level of being like, man, that guy's got some stones on him to wear that shirt in here mm-hmm. like that. But not being over the top or gaudy. And then you walk in and again, keep your mouth shut, introduce yourself, be cordial, be friendly. But you don't have to sit and have a conversation with everybody else in the boardroom about how their weekend went. You know, again, show a little bit of intrigue, but you're not their peer. You're not their constituent. You're not their counterpart, or maybe you're their counterpart, but let your words continue to be impactful in that situation. And so when you do speak, everybody turns and listens. Do your homework, dress the part, act the part. Let the silence be incredibly dynamic for you. And if you do those things, when you do speak, use brevity. Use just enough words to make your point and then shut up.
Excellent. So do your homework. Less is more. Make the eye contact. Dress one level above. Physical posture, talk about that for a second. And physical stature, talk about that for a second as well. How do you carry yourself?
Man, I'm built like a brick, you know? So for me, there's the dual edge to every dynamic, right? So for me, I'm big, I've got big shoulders, I've got big arms. So like when I fill up a room when I walk into it, right? But you have to be, that can play to my advantage really well. But if I'm not careful, then I come across as cold. I come across as a meathead. I come across as any other number of negative things that you can mention. So be very aware of your posture. Be very aware of how you are perceived in a room by people that don't know you, and soften it just a little bit. Don't become overly friendly. Like for me, I use it to my advantage when I'm working with partners, but I also know that I need to smile a little bit more than I'm predisposed to, because that softens that just enough to make myself approachable. Right. Because you know, part of presence is you want people to feel as though they can approach you. If you make yourself unapproachable, then you've taken your presence over the top and you've made yourself cold and you've made yourself, you know, unapproachable, and you will damage your presence by doing that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. And from my perspective, if you're looking to improve your command and executive presence, look to people who you see as have it, right? And whether it's in real life or in the movies or whatever it is, and try to emulate that. Look at their physical posture. Are they hunched over and crouched down? Or are they standing up tall and straight, shoulders back, chin up a little bit? Are they making eye contact? Are they looking away? Are they shaking hands like a cold, dead fish? Or are they shaking hands with an appropriate amount of, hi, I'm here, I exist kind of force, without crossing the line to try and crush somebody else's hand, right? So, Davin, we have just crossed the threshold of 20 minutes. I will give you a 30-second out here to close us out with the concept of commanded executive presence here.
Use your presence in a social situation as well. And this isn't where we talked about as much. And this is where being an intriguing individual, you know, be the guy that's the best bartender, be the guy that makes interesting cocktails, that makes interesting food, but loves to take care of people, and that will draw people to you. Right. And that will give you the ability in that social situation to be able to establish those meaningful relationships and have those impactful conversations. And that is how you will continue to grow your presence outside of a boardroom, but inside of your friend group or inside of your social circle, which is just as important to be a guy with presence there as it is the guy with the suit inside the boardroom trying to make the $1 million deal.
I love it. That's awesome. I appreciate it. We have crossed the threshold of our 20-minute allotment. You and I no doubt could go on and on and on about this topic and any other topics here, but the whole point is to constrain this thing, because this is the updraft. As you said, it is a rapid, violently positive, destructively positive.
Destructively positive.
So we'll see. But that's it, guys. So, you know, by the time that you get in your car and you drive over to work, we want to be able to encapsulate this thing. So with that being said, episode one of the updraft here from the Upward Spiral podcast, let's tie a bow on it. Davin, thank you very much. I appreciate all that you do.
All right, Cody, appreciate you. And hey, for our listeners, real quick, if you guys want to have a further conversation about this, look me up on Facebook, look me up on Instagram, do the same thing for Cody. LinkedIn is a good platform as well, and shoot us a message. And we'd love to have an offline conversation with you and help you grow in this area, help teach you and work with you on establishing and maintaining command and executive presence, because it's important. It's underestimated a little bit, but this is an area that can take you over the top as a professional, can take you over the top as a friend, can take you over the top in your social dynamic. So hit us up.
Absolutely, Dad. Couldn't say that better myself. You know, this is our first time we'll be posting something on YouTube as well as a podcast. So the information relative to how to get contact with us is in all the information below. If you're listening to this on the podcast, we provided the links in the show notes. If you're on YouTube, it's all in the information as well. So check that out. So the obligatory subscribe, like, smash the like button, all that kind of crap that I hear those people say. There it is. Davin, thank you very much. Appreciate you guys.
Good stuff. Thanks, Cody.
All right.